Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
This is the third in our series in answering one of the most important questions that we'll ever face in our lifetime. That question is, what is God's plan for man to go to heaven? Do you believe that God has given us a plan, a practical, complete plan for salvation? Or do you believe that whether or not you spend eternity in heaven will depend on your plan, on your way? Well, I profess before you today that God has a plan. And that plan has been revealed in God's Word, and that plan is complete. That passage is like 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, and 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17 teach us that the Bible contains not only the plan of God, but the complete plan of God for man's salvation. And that understanding that the Bible is the complete plan of God for salvation, we can thus understand that any other plan is from man and not from God, and that any other plan is not useful in our being protected eternally. That we cannot go to heaven by understanding and by studying and by following the plan of man, because God's plan is complete. God's plan is unique because God's plan is perfect. We've been studying that plan over the last 2 weeks, and our study today begins with a passage that is found in Matthew, the 28th chapter. Before we read Matthew 28 and verse 20, let's spend just a few moments concerning the ground rules of this study. Now, that being that if you find anything taught in this study that is not from God's Word, if you find anything that is taught in this study that comes from man rather than from God, that is different from what God teaches, or if you find anything in this study that is not backed up by Scripture, by book, chapter, and verse in the Bible, if you'll just put those concerns in an email to me, we'll talk about it. We'll address those concerns. We'll show where the Bible specifies very clearly those things that are being taught in this lesson. You can access that email by going to our website, which is found at www.montevistacoc.com. That's www.montevistacoc.com. In that web page is an email form that can be filled out, and that will be directed to me. And we'll make sure that we do one of two things. We'll either give you a passage of Scripture that teaches the message over which you're showing concern, or we'll change our belief. If in fact we believe something that the Bible does not teach, we at the Monte Vista Church of Christ will change our belief. It is our honest desire to go to heaven. And to get to heaven, it is our honest belief that we have within the pages of the Bible, and only therein, the roadmap to heaven. We believe what Jeremiah said in the book of Jeremiah, when he from God said, it is not within man to direct his own way. We go to the Bible to find that narrow road that Jesus said few walk that will end up in salvation. That's found in the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 21, 22, and 23. With those things being stipulated, I now invite you to join with me in reading the 20th verse of the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew. Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let me ask you concerning that verse. Did Jesus say that you could observe part of his will and be pleasing to him? Well, no, he didn't say that, did he? The second question, is it your understanding that we must do all of the will of God to please him? And the answer to that is yes. Does that mean that we are teaching a sinless perfection on this program? That would be a misunderstanding of what we're teaching. Romans 3 and verse 23 says that all men sin and fall short of the glory of God. We understand that man is not perfect. God is perfect. Deity is perfect. Jesus was perfect. Mankind is not perfect. Jesus died on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. What we are teaching is that we cannot pick and choose what part of God's will we serve. We cannot be selective with regard to what part of God's will we put into our life and what part we ignore. That we must be committed to serving all of God's will in the most in a way that we achieve every ounce of possibility, that we achieve every ounce of effort that we can put into the Word, that we follow God's will the absolute best that we can, recognizing that without the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and forgiveness of our sins, we do not merit salvation. Salvation is a gift. It's a gift of God. But it is a gift that is contingent upon us living in a certain way. We cannot observe part of the will of Jesus Christ and be pleasing to him. We must do all of the will of God. We cannot be selective to be pleasing to God. Matthew 28 and verse 20. Now, if you have in your possession a piece of paper, I'd like to begin a part of this study that lists every single step that the Bible teaches a man must believe and accomplish in order to go to heaven. To start that study, I want to read with you a passage of Scripture that's one of the most familiar passages that the Bible has within its pages. It's found in John, the 3rd chapter, and verse 16. There Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We heard that passage said so much, and many who profess to believe that passage teach that the belief that mankind has in Jesus Christ is the only thing that is necessary to salvation. I believe that God's Word teaches differently than that, and we'll go about to show that in this and future studies. But from John 3 and verse 16, we can answer a very direct and important question. And that question is this: is it God's will that you believe in Jesus? Certainly, it's God's will that we believe in Jesus. There would be no one whose soul is saved that does not believe in Jesus Christ. Of course, we're excluding from that number those who die before they have the age to possess the ability to believe. An infant will be saved, but an infant does not have the capabilities to believe. We're talking about those who have reached an age where they know the difference between right and wrong. Those who have reached an age that have the mental capabilities to believe something based upon evidence. People like that who do not believe in Jesus Christ simply will not be saved. It's God's will that we believe in Jesus Christ. Now I'd like for you to look with me at John 8 and verse 24. John 8 and verse 24 further emphasizes the fact that we must believe in Jesus Christ. There, the Bible says, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Is it possible then to enter heaven if we do not believe in Jesus Christ? Well, certainly it is not possible to enter into heaven if we do not believe in Jesus Christ. Now, if you would, I'd like for you to stay in the book of John and let's read a very short verse, a verse that's found in John the 14th chapter and verse 15. Therein the Bible says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." It's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus would tie together the love of mankind for him with the keeping of commandments. Turn now, if you would, back in your Bible to the book of Matthew. I'd like to read with you Matthew the 22nd chapter, verses 37 and 38. Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Put those two passages together, if you would. Put together John 14 and verse 15 and Matthew 28, verse 37 and 38. From what you learn in those passages, you can answer the following two questions. First, is it God's will that you believe in Christ and love Him? And the answer to that is an overwhelming yes. The second question, if you do not obey Christ, do you love Him? Well, Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments," didn't He? So now on our list of things that it takes to get to heaven, we have two items. Number one, we must believe in Jesus Christ. That comes from John 3 and verse 16. And number two, we must love Christ. And that love is an obedient love, John 14 and verse 15. So now we are beginning to make a list. We are beginning to see what the Bible, remember the Bible, which is that which allows us to know, to be thoroughly equipped, to be thoroughly furnished for every good work. We're starting to make a list of what the Bible says it takes to get to heaven. May I ask you a favor? As this list grows, compare this list to what you've done in your life. Compare this list to what you are doing right now. Compare this list to what you believe the plan for man to go to heaven is. And if you find this list to be different than what you believe, then make the appropriate changes while you still have time. Turn now, if you would, with me to the book of Romans. In Romans, the 6th chapter and verse 17, the Bible, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, has some information that's valuable, that's critical to us in our study. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Let me ask you a couple of questions here. Based upon what Paul wrote in Romans 6 and verse 17, when you obey God, can you obey only from an outward expression and not from the heart? No. Obedience that is acceptable to God comes from the heart. It is not just an outward expression. You know, there are outward expressions of love that are not sincere, that don't show love. When Judas kissed Jesus in the garden, it was to betray Jesus, even though it was a outward sign that would say to people that Judas loved Jesus. There was no love in that kiss. There are a lot of things that we can do and say today that may look good religiously from the outside, but unless they're motivated from the inside, they don't exhibit the kind of love that allows us to be pleasing to the Master. A second question, when we obey God, must we obey God's form of teaching? You remember, if you would, a question that we had last week on the passage found in John 14 and verse 6. And that listed a lot of different people, both religious leaders and family members and friends. And we saw when thinking about that question that it's not their ideas that we should follow religiously. It is not their plan. It is not their word. It's the words of Jesus that were given to bring us that full and abundant life, and that we should go to Jesus' words, his teachings, to learn how to have that life. So in Romans 6 and verse 17, when the Apostle Paul wrote that statement, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Paul there is talking very succinctly about obeying from the heart. He's also talking very succinctly about that which we must obey from the heart, and that is the form of doctrine, that form of instruction that we get from the Bible. When we obey God, we must obey God's form of teaching. Now, if you would, turn back to the book of Luke in chapter 13, and let's add another item to that list that we're making concerning how to get to heaven. How is it that we get to heaven? Well, if you'll remember, we have two items on that list already. We have believe in God, John 3 and verse 16, and second, loving God or loving Christ, and that being an obedient love, John 14 and verse 15. And now let's add something else. In Luke 13 and verse 3, Jesus said, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That was so important. Jesus repeated that in the fifth verse of the same chapter, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. In addition to obedience, in addition to love, is it God's will that we repent? Well, certainly it is. The passage of Scripture, again, is Luke 13 and verse 3. Do you think that you and I will receive the full and the abundant life if we don't repent? Well, not according to the ground rules that Jesus laid down for that full and abundant life, and that is obedience to all of His Word. Well, what is repentance? A lot of people have a lot of different definitions for repentance. But let me suggest to you that the best way to define a Bible word is with the Bible. That's the perfect definition. We can do that on the word of repentance, or the word repent, by looking at Acts 3 and verse 19. In Acts the third chapter and verse 19, we get our very first glimpse at what it is to repent. If you're following along with your Bible, I'll give you a moment to turn to Acts 3 and verse 19 so that we might read that together. There the Bible says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." So then in Acts 3 and verse 19, we see that repenting and converting or changing has a relationship that is absolutely necessary. That to repent, we must change something. Well, how about that change? Is the kind of change that is necessary for a person to repent talked about in the Bible? Well, yes, it is. Talked about, written about in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. There the Bible says, "For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." So there in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10, there's two kinds of repentance that are written about. One kind of repentance leads to life. It leads to salvation. It's a kind of repentance that God wants. And then there is a repentance that leads to death. There is a sorrow that produces those repentance. The two kinds of repentance that's talked about in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. A godly repentance, a godly sorrow that leads to a godly repentance, is the kind of repentance that's made because we're sorry that we're doing something that is wrong. That we're sorrowful over living in a way that is wrong in the sight of God. That motivates us to the repentance that Jesus demands in Luke 13 and verse 3. But there's another kind of sorrow that leads us to a change, but a change that doesn't coincide with the change that God wants. That's a worldly sorrow. I could describe that this way. Let's say that you're driving down the freeway and you drop that cigarette that you know you shouldn't be smoking between your legs, and you're scrambling to get that cigarette out from between your legs, and you're causing all kinds of traffic hazards, and you say, "Boy, if I can just get this situation corrected without dying, I'll never smoke another cigarette." Well, there's sorrow, and there's a change, but it's not the right kind of a sorrow, and usually it's not a permanent change either, is it? But if in fact you're smoking that cigarette and you're thinking, "I know that God doesn't want me to do this. I know my influence is destroyed, and I know that I'm hurting my body, and the Bible teaches that that's wrong, and I just want to be a better person, I want to do more what the Lord would have me to do. And you lay down that cigarette, that's a godly sorrow that brings about the kind of change that God is looking for. It's a kind of change that is repentance. Jesus said we must repent in order to be pleasing to Him. So, on our list of things that God wants us to do to go to heaven, we now have three. We have believe, we have love Christ, and we have repent from those passages that we've studied. I appreciate you studying along with me today. Lord willing, next week we'll continue our study on what God wants us to do in order to be saved. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.